Okay, Brishut HaRabbanim. It's really a kavod to be here with all of you. I've heard so much about this learning program, and I've heard such amazing things, and it's so special to see it in person. I was asked to speak about topics related to medical halacha. So I thought I'll do something interesting because this week's Parsha, Mishpatim, has some very important and very relevant medical halachic issues. One in particular that we'll focus on, I'll tell you some stories very briefly. And have those in mind. I have source sheets going around now. Then you'll have time to learn it. And then I'm going to give you more source sheets, more expansive. I just wanted to give you something basic to start with, to focus your learning. And then we'll do something more in-depth. But let me tell you some of the questions to think about as you're learning these. Question number one. Simple question. Cedar Sinai. I'm the rabbi at Cedar Sinai up the block. And about 6 years ago, Cedar Sinai opened up a PhD program. So obviously it's a hospital. You should go there. Hopefully you just go there for, you know, new babies and happy things like that. But also we have a training program now. A person can get a PhD. So for our first graduation, we found out we have to have like a whole formal graduation. You know, with the whole thing. We walk down with the whole robe and everything. And we had to create an academic seal. You know, like a university has a seal with their like logo and their picture and their motto. And they said to me, you know, most universities, many actually in America, had Hebrew sayings. Some of them had like Veritas in Latin. But some of them have like Urim Vetumim, Emet, things like that, on the academic seal of American universities. So they asked me, what should be our motto for Cedar Sinai? It's a Jewish hospital. What is it like a short line in Hebrew that should be our motto for a Jewish hospital? So I said, and it's on our motto today, on our logo to this day, V'rapo yirapeh, in this week's Parsha, and you shall surely heal. And that's what we used. But I knew deep down, it's not really the right motto for a hospital. But that's what we did, because I thought it makes the most sense. People are going to look at it, and they're going to say, yes, this is right. But I also felt like it's not right. So you're going to learn some sources here, and you tell me if you think we made the right choice, or if there's another pasuk that would have been a better choice. Okay, case number two. Now I'll tell you a couple stories. A story that Rav Asher Weiss was asked during COVID. The story was that there was a man, he was a nurse in a nursing home. This nursing home locked down. They wanted to protect their patients because they had the most vulnerable elderly patients. They said no one's going in or out. But one nurse, he needed to go home for his family, let him go home, and he's home for a day, and his whole family had COVID. And he came back to the nursing home because he thought, I think I'm fine. I don't think I have it. He went back. All of his patients then got COVID, and some of them died. So they wrote a letter to Rav Asher Weiss. Did I kill my patients? Do I need to do tshuva? That's one case. Another case. This wasn't asked to Rav Asher Weiss, but this was a big, big deal. The nurse was named Redonda Vaught. She was a nurse at Vanderbilt Medical Center in Tennessee. Some of you might have heard about it because it got a lot of attention in the news. Redonda Vaught had a 75-year-old patient who was doing fine. She was about to go home and be discharged. She just needed to have one final little imaging procedure and then go home. She was a little bit nervous for the procedure, so the nurse said, I'm going to give you Versed, just to calm you down. So she goes into the system, if you've ever seen in the nursing stations and hospitals, it's like the medicine cabinet is all locked up, very strict. Can't even talk to the nurses while they're there because they can't make a mistake. And she types in VE for Versed. And it autofills to Vuconium, another drug that's a deadly drug. And she wrote in VE, so it just autofills to the next drug. So she just clicks yes. Then a warning screen came up and said, this is a deadly drug. Are you sure this is only for certain conditions? And she wrote, yes, I'm sure. She gets the drug, goes and gives it to her patient, who is going to be discharged that day. She goes back about her business. And next thing she goes to her patient to bring her to her procedure, and she's dead. The patient died. And she was put on trial for murder. For murder. Manslaughter. Okay, that was another case. One more case. Also, a COVID case. This was a case that was also asked to Rav Asher Weiss. There was a nurse in the ICU who was an expert with the ventilators. And she was so good that after she finished her shift, you know, a lot of the nurses were out sick and people weren't coming into work at the beginning of the pandemic. So her boss asked her, can you do one more shift? She just worked a 12-hour shift, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. Her boss asked her, can you do one more shift now from 7 p.m. till 7, all night. But she was like the best nurse. So she says, okay, if you need me, I'll do it. Not only, yeah, there are laws, but she had to take a break. And so she took a break and then she came back. And so she was. They allowed it because of the emergency, because it was a pandemic and they didn't have any other nurses. They allowed it. So in the middle of the night, 3 a.m, a patient comes in who needs a respirator. But the thing was, you know, this was in New York. They had this protocol where they were using old respirators because they were running out of respirators. So it wasn't a respirator she was used to. She was also very tired. And she put the patient on the respirator. She realized after she didn't do it right. And the patient died. And she felt guilty. She wrote a letter to the rabbi. Did I kill him? Did I kill my patient? So you have the sources now. I'm going to stop with that. It's not every source that there is in the whole Torah. There's a lot to talk about this issue. But just on this week's Parsha, think about all the questions I just brought up. Look at the sources, but look at them carefully. Ask questions. I didn't give you a lot. I put the English there, so it should be. You just go through the sources, and then I'll pass out source sheets with more sources, and we'll go into it more in depth. But see what you think. Look at, have those ideas in mind, and look at the sources now, and then we'll reconvene in 20 minutes or whatever it is, and we'll discuss. Learning in different groups, so we'll do our group. So the first part is the pasuk in this week's Parsha. The classic pasuk, right? You know, if two people are fighting, im yakum yisalef b'chutz on mishan tov and akav hamaka rak shivto yitain, you just have, this is a person who didn't die. People, someone was injured, but they didn't die. You have to pay for their shivto, the time that they didn't spend working, that they could have been working, v'rapo yirapeh, and you have to pay for their healing. So that seems to be all the Torah says there. V'rapo yirapeh is the famous line, but all it's telling us is that you have to pay for their medical bills, right? So the rabbis, though, understood that this pasuk must mean much more than just paying for medical bills. So the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, Daf Pei Hei Amud Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yishmal, V'rapo yirapeh mikan shenitin reshus l'rope l'rapos. From here you see that a doctor has permission to engage in healing. Why do you even need reshus? Why would you have thought that you can't engage in healing? Why do you need to have permission for a doctor?
Like, God is the
exactly. You would have thought it should be Hashem. Only God could heal. So there's a few answers. Let's look at some of the answers that were given. So first, Tosos HaRosh. The Tosos HaRosh there, it's actually in Brachos, says as follows. First of all, he says, "Mikan shenitna reshus l'rofa l'rapos, hiksha harav Yaakov mi verlinish pshita lamalo yirape harofim." Why wouldn't the doctor say they could? Haksi vashivosalo. First of all, now this is going to go to the first questions I asked. What pasuk should we have chosen at Cedar Sinai to be the actual pasuk? The Rush is going to ask here. There are better psukim in the Torah that command healing. Actually, one of them is vashivosalo. What does Vashivotalo mean? I'm sorry about my Ashkenazis. Vashivotalo. What does anyone know what it means?
Return him to...
Return lost objects. So you're supposed to return lost objects. That's a mitzvah in the Torah. But the rabbi said, returning lost objects is also returning someone's, not just, first of all, their neshama, so that's a job for a rabbi, and also their guf. If someone is injured, it's a mitzvah to return their body to them. So the real mitzvah of healthcare, of providing healing, is returning their lost object. Someone comes to their doctor and says, I was healthy, now I'm not healthy. The doctor's obligation to heal them is because I'm helping you return, I have the expertise to return your lost object. That's one. So really, but it would have been weird. Imagine if it says Cedar Sinai logo, Vashevota lo. Like someone's going to look at that and says, returning lost objects, it's a hospital. No, why is it not returning lost objects? You have to explain to them what the Gemara means, so that's why I didn't think it would be the right thing to put on our logo, on our motto. So he says, but so why do you need v'rapo yirapeh? Because you have vashivosalo, v'darshinan zehi hashavas gufo. That the rabbi said, that's returning the body. V'ksiv lo tamar al damriyacha. That's a more famous one. Lo tamar al damriyacha. If I see someone, if I'm a doctor, or even if I have any skills, if I see someone collapsed, you can't just walk by them, right? You have to try to heal them. Lo tamar al damriyacha. Don't stand idly by. So that's also the mitzvah of healing. So that also we could have put on the seal. That would have been good, but I think it was too long. Lo tamar al damriyacha. I don't know. I thought it was too long to fit. They wanted me to have two words.
It's an obligation for
them? Yeah. Obligation. Lo tamar al damriyacha. It's a prohibition to not heal them. So So he answers, the Rosh Yair says, V'tireitz, shenitin reshus l'rapos b'schar. You're a doctor. You would have thought, though, it's a mitzvah. Normally a mitzvah, like, for example, being a rabbi. A rabbi is not supposed to get paid. I don't any rabbis. I don't want to offend anyone. A rabbi is not supposed to get paid. Supposed to. I mean, we have reasons why you're allowed to pay the rabbi. Don't worry. But you're supposed to be that when you do a mitzvah, when you teach Torah, you're not supposed to get paid for it. You're supposed to do the mitzvah. So what would happen, though, if you said, we're not going to pay any rabbis? Most people are not going to become rabbis. Maybe someone very ideological, but most people can't support a family. So too with healthcare. If it's a mitzvah to be a doctor, and the doctor won't get paid, so who's going to do it? So he said, oh, v'rapo yirapeh comes to say you could get paid for it. It's an obligation, because if you have to pay for someone to get healed, so you have to pay someone to be the healer. So that's one answer. You would have thought he has to do it for free. But he gives another reason now, a better reason, that Rosh says. If I did something, let's say, I don't know, I cut myself or whatever. I did something, then it makes sense that I should be healed because I made a mistake. I got in an accident. But something just comes on its own, like, God forbid, cancer. Right? Something that just happens. I didn't cause it. It just happened. Lav krahu havamin. Without this pasuk, I would have thought you ain't l'raposam. I would have thought you can't cure them because it's God's decree. Shenir kemevato gzeirsa melech. I would have thought, you know, if God makes someone sick, how do I have the right to try to help them? God decided they should be sick. But is that the Jewish way? I mean, obviously we believe in God. We believe God's in control. We believe God's in charge. But we also believe that God said, some people might get sick, but it's your job to try to help them. So v'rapo yirapeh comes to say, you also don't say God made them sick. It's even things that we would have said, if God caused it, I'm allowed to help. Then, getting more specific to the questions I asked today. So then the Ramban gives an answer that is different, but it's very important. He says, the last source on the page there, he says, Mistabra, tehadam rinan, nitna torah reshus l'rofa l'rapos. We have permission for a doctor to heal. Lomar, she'eno asr mishum chashash hashgaga. You would have thought, why should a doctor be allowed to perform medicine? Sometimes they make mistakes. Not to mention when the Ramban was alive 1,000 years ago, but so even it happens today, as I just told you 3 stories. How could I have the permission, let's say, to do surgery or give medicine? Even the best doctors today make mistakes. And how could I be allowed to try to heal someone if I might also kill them? And it does happen today, right? All the time. Not just mistakes. We try to help them and they die. It happens, right? Or they don't die, but they get injured. So you might say, don't do medicine. Why should I do it if someone might get injured? You're better off just shave the altase. Don't do anything. So the rabbi said, no, v'rapo yirapeh comes to teach you that you're allowed to try even though you might make a mistake. Because you're trying to help. And that actually comes back to this week's parsha as well. If you turn the page, so that whole thing comes to this week's parsha of v'rapo yirapeh. But right next, in the same parak, just a few psukim earlier, the Torah says, first the Torah said, you know, we have this week's parsha, the capital punishment, death penalty. You can kill someone. If they kill someone else, you can kill them. But then the pasuk says, v'chi yazid ish arehu, when someone intentionally, yazid comes from the word, you know, mazid. If someone intentionally kills someone else, v'chi yazid ish arehu, lehorgo, to kill them, be'arama, like intentionally, like I say, I want to kill that person. So then, reminded me of a story, like, we had a case, someone just brought this up to me, this was a few years ago, but there was a patient being discharged from our hospital. He told one of our chaplains, I'll tell you the story this way. The chaplain came to my office, I was in a meeting, so he didn't bother me. He came back an hour later and said, Rabbi, I didn't want to bother you, but I just want to know, is this a big deal? He said, I just visited a patient, and he told me the reason he's in the hospital is because someone hurt him. And he said to me, as soon as I get out of the hospital, I'm getting discharged today at 3 o'clock, and I know where this man goes for mincha. And I have a gun at my house, and I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him at mincha. I'm going to murder this man. I'm so mad. And he said, I don't think you should do this. I don't care what you say to me, Rabbi. I'm going to do it. So this chaplain came there to tell me. He said, should I report this? And I was like, you should have interrupted me. And he interrupted me. Yes. The guy was already discharged. We called the police. The police went to his house and found him with a gun ready to go kill the guy. So, yeah. So anyways, that is Yazid Be'arama. That's someone who's going to kill someone, right? That's not a doctor who accidentally kills someone. That's someone who says, I'm going to kill you. That's not allowed, right? That's not allowed. That's murder. So anyways, so it says, Me'im mizbechi techachenu lamus. From my altar, you can take him to kill him. Meaning the Torah says capital punishment is allowed. I know the rabbis limited capital punishment very much, but the Torah here in this verse is saying, if someone intentionally kills someone with the intent to kill them, you can, and then you catch them, you can have capital punishment, you can kill them. So the
intent?
No. If they actually kill them. This guy, when he got stopped by the police, he didn't kill anyone, so it's done. But if he would have killed him, imagine they would have brought this chaplain to court and said, did he tell you who's going to kill that man? He says, yeah, he said. And then he said, I went home and got my gun. I know where he's going, and I went to kill him. Like, it's pretty much premeditated murder. That would be what this pasuk's talking about, right? And theoretically, you could have a beis din that would say he's chayav misa. A beit din that would say he's chayav mita. I know probably in the Torah halacha we probably wouldn't have killed him because you need the edim and hatrab, but whatever. According to this pasuk, at least it seems to say he would be chayav mita, you would kill him. So Rashi says there, and this brings it back to doctors. Look at this Rashi. The Rashi is very interesting. The Rashi says, and you'll tell me how much time, just so I can gauge myself. Like, is there a certain time I should be finishing by? 5 minutes. Okay. So. Well, I mean, the doctor is not that case. The doctor is not going around.
In your case right now, for the doctor not coming and interrupting your meeting, and let's say this guy was interrupting.
Well, the doctor, you mean, would the doctor be guilty for not warning me?
For not reporting the authorities.
Well, maybe. They could get in a lot of trouble for not reporting. They have to report it. They're a mandated reporter. They're not guilty of murder for not reporting it, but they could get in a lot of trouble. I mean, maybe you could imagine if they know so clearly and it's so obvious. So look at the Rashi says here. This is back to the doctors. Rashi says here, so why did it say V'chi Yazid? Why did the pasuk start that way? So he says, because we just said a few psukim earlier, Lefisha Nemar, Maka Ish Femes, Mos Yumas. It already told you, if you kill someone and they die, you should be put to death. So the reason why we had here V'chi Yazid is Shomei Ani Afilu Goy. Okay, it could be. I would have thought Afilu Goy V'arofe Shaharig, and also I would have thought that even a doctor that kills someone accidentally, that person would be Chayav Mita. They should be have the death penalty. But no. No, the reason why it says V'chi Yazid, if they kill intentionally, is so that you know, so a doctor who kills accidentally is not guilty. Because before when it said Maka Ish V'meit, all it said in the pasuk was, if you hit someone and they die, you have capital punishment. So that you might have thought, wait a second, a doctor, they don't hit someone, but let's say they do surgery and they die. That's kind of a Maka, and they die. But here it says, no, V'chi Yazid, if it's intentional to kill them. And so that's why we say here, the harov feshaharag, so a doctor that kills someone, but it's accidental, and also shliach beitin shehemit b'malkot arbaim, and also let's say someone gets a punishment where they have to get hit 39 times, makos. So the shliach beitin, let's say they do their makos, and the person dies. But they didn't want them to die, so that's also shogeg, that's not mezid. Also, the ha'av hamaket b'no, a father, technically by halacha, is allowed to hit their child. What? It's technically allowed, right? They need to be careful. But let's say the kid accidentally dies. It wasn't intentional, hopefully. So that's amazing. Also, that Talmido, Harav, Harode, Talmido, Vishogeg. Also, a rab is allowed to hit their students. We don't do that so much anymore. But technically, it's allowed. But hopefully, they won't die. But if they die, the intent was not to kill them. The intent was just to punish. So technically, it's allowed. Talmalomar, Vichi Yazid. The lo shogeg al re'ehu, but not when it's accidental. Accidental death is not punishable by capital punishment. That's why I also said lahargo be'arama, v'lo shliach beitim, v'lo harofe, and not the doctor. So a doctor that kills, if the intention is not killing, that's considered shogeg. It's not mezid, and therefore they don't have capital punishment for that. Because that we have other things to learn from it, so we're not going to go into it now because we're almost out of time. But that pasuk was for one thing. This pasuk is for another thing. Sometimes we have to have multiple pasukim. You're right. Why not just have one pasuk that says everything? But
no, I would already know from the Torah that if it was Bishogesh.
Right. But the Torah needed to be clear about this, because you would have said the same thing with the other pasuk, so it needs to be extra clear to set the principle and then have the delineations of it. That's a good question. We'll save the Rambam. Let's just look at the Shulchan Aruch. So how do we paskin? What does the Shulchan Aruch say about this? When it comes to doctors, the Shulchan Aruch in your idea says as follows: Nitna haTorah Rashus the Rofa the Rapos. The Torah gave the bottom source there doctors permission to heal. Umitzvahi, and it's a mitzvah. B'chabakuch nefesh, and it's saving your life. V'monea atzmo, and if the doctor doesn't heal, so this kind of goes back to your question before: if the doctor could heal or could prevent something and doesn't heal, Hareze shofech damim. That is considered killing just by not healing. V'afilu yeshlo mishir pa'ehu. Even if there's someone else that could do the healing, shalom min akol adam zochlitz rapos, because not everyone has the schus to heal. Like I just read a question someone asked to a rabbi. The doctor said, my patients keep calling me, can I take a vacation? And the rabbi actually said, maybe you can't take a vacation according to halacha, because they, even though someone else could fill in for you, he said, no, they need their doctor. Okay, he ended up saying you can't take a vacation because you can't live that way. A doctor needs a vacation. But lo min hakol adam zoka zoch
lisrapos. What if one of these relatives is a terrorist and actually comes to the hospital?
Okay, maybe we'll talk about that, because this came up in Gaza also. So maybe we'll talk about it. Yeah, we'll talk about it. I'll mention it, because I'm going to mention the war stuff. So a good point. I'll mention it, because it did come up. It's a good question. So he concludes here. He concludes, umihu, lo yasasek berefua elaim kein hu bakiv. But you can only practice medicine if you know what you're doing, if you're skilled. V'lo yeshem sham gadol mimenu, and there's not someone else there who's better than you. Shim lo kein harezeh shofek dami. Because if you just say, you know what, I can heal this person, I'm not going to call a doctor, I can do it, and then the person dies, that's also shofek dami, because you could have just called to someone better. You could have called the doctor. If you say, I once watched, you know, Grey's Anatomy, so I know how to do it. You know, it's like, no. Kal Hatzalah. Yeah.
What if it's a case where the patient's on life support in a really bad situation? What's the obligation of the doctor? These days, they say once.
Right. But if there's a refua, the halacha would be, if there's a possibility for refua, yes, you're right. They have to. If there's no possibility for refua, that's a different situation. They can't kill them still, but they might not still be obligated if there's no chance. If they're in the dying process, you know. But it's a good point. You're obligated to do as much as you're capable of doing, but if you're not skilled, no, because you might make it worse.
CPR, like, let's say if you know CPR, you have to do it.
Yeah, if you know it, you have to try it. Yes. Unless it's going to really endanger you, like let's say the person is like a homeless person or something, and you're afraid that there's something.
Then you have an obligation, even though you feel like.
And even then, you probably shouldn't. Sorry.
You have to give a mouth-to-mouth meeting. You have an obligation to even.
If that's what will help them, and you know how to do it, and you're trained. Probably yes, but if you could easily, quickly. Right. I mean, obviously, you should be first calling professionals to come. But but this is lo tamar adam reyecha. Yes, this is exactly the pasuk. Right. Yeah.
And
okay.
So only do it if no one else is better.
Okay, so hopefully you went over all the sources in your different chaburas. And first, by the way, before I start, I just want to say how impressed I am to be here by all of you. The fact that you're taking time to learn Torah, to ask such good questions, to have with such great rabbanim, to really dedicate your time in the middle of the day to learning. I mean, there's nothing better than this. This is so important that, you know, we spend so much time busy, but really what we should spend our time doing is this is what it's all about, is learning Torah, being here with your rabbis, with your community. I'm so impressed by the time that you take to be here, and it's really a schus and an honor to be with all of you. So we'll look through some of the sources. I passed out sheets here because there's a few more that I want to show you, and I want to bring in a few more, because the truth is, I didn't mention it at the opening, but the current war in Gaza, may Israel have a speedy victory, is also relevant. There's some relevant questions in the war that I'll mention as we go through. So first of all, in the sheets that you saw, we saw how it's relevant for this week's Parsha. We have the famous verse, V'rapo yirapeh. What did that teach us? So the Gemara says there, the Gemara said that mikan shenitein reshus l'rof v'l'rapo. So from there, the doctors get permission to engage in healing. Why do they need permission? Why do they even need permission? So first of all, you maybe saw in the Tosos HaRosh there that it's not the ideal verse. It's not really the main pasuk that teaches about the obligation to heal. And maybe at Cedar Sinai, when they asked me for a different verse, you know, for the verse for the seal, what should I have said? Vashavotalo. That would have really been, that's really the obligation in the Torah for to provide medicine, to return people's body, to return to provide healing, is Vashavotalo. Return lost objects. It just would have been weird. Right? People would have looked at our sign and said, like, Cedar Sinai, return lost objects. What are they talking about? So I didn't want to be, it seemed weird. Or we could have said, Lo Tamar Adam Riecha. But it didn't fit. It didn't fit in the seal. It's too much. But that would have been a good one too. But so, Verapo Yerapeh, but it is very relevant for our discussion here. Because we said on the one hand, it means that a doctor can receive pay. Really, since it's a mitzvah to be engaged in healthcare, you shouldn't get paid for it. But the rabbi said, since we have this pasuk, Verapo Yerapeh, you can pay. A doctor can get paid for it. They can get schar. The other is, you might have thought that, you know, Hashem is in control of everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. So it's one thing if I trip and I can put on a brace and heal a wound, I can take care of it. But if God inflicts me, chas v'shalom, with an illness, who am I to try to fight the illness? God decided. It's God's decree. But we learn from this that the Torah says, sometimes, yes, it is all from Shemayim, but we still have the right to fight it, to try to heal and try to make people better. So you have permission based on Verapo Yerapeh to even go against what seems like God's decree, because God also gave us the tools and the means with which to heal. And there's a lot to be said about that. Maybe another time we'll talk about some of the new innovations in medicine. And it's amazing how even the newest innovations in medicine today are based on Niflo Sabore, things that scientists are just discovering that have been in humanity for thousands of years. It's even the newest innovations are what God put into the Bria. But anyways, for another time. And finally, we saw the Ramban's answer, which is that why do you need permission to heal? Verapo Yerapeh, because sometimes it's a risk. There's risk involved in healing. And sometimes mistakes happen, as we discussed at the beginning. Someone might make a mistake and might think that, I was trying to heal them, I was trying to help the patient, but it didn't go well. And it's okay, we still try. The Torah says you still try, even though there might be mistakes, even though there might be a risk. And that leads us to another pasuk in this week's Parsha that you have had on the sheet. V'chi yazid ish al re'ehu, if a person comes intentionally hurt someone else, lahargo ba'arama, to kill them with intent that they want to hurt them, me'im mizbechi tekachenu lamut, then they can be killed by the Beit Din, theoretically. And this comes to teach us that even though the Torah already told us, maka ish v'meit mot yumat, if someone hurts someone and kills them, they are required for death penalty. This verse clarifies that it's only if it's v'chi yazid, if it's intentional. But if it's accidental, for example, one of the examples Rashi gives is if it's accidental, like a doctor who's trying to help someone, but the person dies, that would not be obviously something that they're required for capital punishment for, and that is understood as a shogeg. Shogeg is allowed, is not punished. Mazid is allowed. Intentional is punished. But when the question is, yes. What, how could it be intentional without being premeditated, even by a second? Intentional, you want to hurt the patient?
Things can happen where you...
Okay, so theoretically...
You don't sit down and reflect on the consequences of your action, and you act without premeditation.
You could imagine a case where possibly it wouldn't be shogeg. I mean, you could imagine such a case that, yes, that there could be. But it seems to be yazid and arama, there is some intent. There's intent to hurt, not intent to heal. Not intent to help.
So this nurse would look at him in class?
Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. So what, because it's interesting that in the whole Torah, you don't have a concept of punishment for shogeg. If a Torah prohibition is punishable by karet, by spiritual incision, kares, then there's a chatas, there's a korban chatas. But normally, if someone does something by accident, there's no punishment. But when it comes to killing, there is such thing as shogeg still has a punishment. There is something. So let's look at that. So you asked, does this nurse have to go to an ir miklat? So first of all, the Rambam writes, now in the sources that I passed out here, you have this Rambam, in Hilchos Rotzeach, Shmiras Nefesh, Perek Hei, Halacha, Aleph, and Beis. First the Rambam says, Kol ahoreg b'shkaga, if you kill accidentally, Gola mimedina shehoreg ba l'ari miklat. You have to go from the place where you live to the ir miklat. to one of the cities of refuge. Umitzvas asei lehigalota, and it's a mitzvah of the Torah to go. The Rambam doesn't mention doctors, by the way; just says in general. As it says, v'yashav ba'admot hakohen hagadol. So there is this concept that if you kill accidentally, you have to go to an ir miklat. However, the Rambam seems to say it's only if the person dies right away, because then he says, ein rotzech b'shkaga gola ela im kein meit hanerag miyad. If they die right away, avalim chavabo b'shkaga afa pisham duhu lamita, even though you cause them to die, v'chala umeit enogola shema hu kirev et mitato. Maybe you made the death happen sooner or something, but you didn't cause it completely yourself. Maybe there's other factors. So you're only punishable, according to the Rambam, if it's immediate. So that nurse, for example, you have to now ask, what is miyad? What is immediate? Because the person did die within about a half hour, 45 minutes. Then again, it wasn't that second. But now let me ask you a much harder question. Because in Gaza, unfortunately, and this is another question Rav Asher Weiss, he just published a tshuva on it this week, was asked, unfortunately, 10% of the soldiers, Israeli soldiers, IDF soldiers that have died, of the 225, whatever it is today, unfortunately, about 10% were killed by IDF soldiers, accidentally, of course. And this is normal in war, especially in such a difficult, complicated war, urban warfare like Gaza, where you have horrible, evil people hiding amongst the masses and trying to trick them. So it's going to happen. And unfortunately, we had the case, for example, of the three hostages that came out and were accidentally killed by the IDF. So those soldiers went to their rabbis after. Imagine, they felt horrible. Obviously, their goal is to save lives, to save Jewish lives, to save Israel. And unfortunately, people died. And oftentimes, these soldiers who they killed, the Israelis, the Jews that they killed, obviously, they died immediately. They were shot and killed. So Rav Asher Weiss was asked, do these soldiers have to go into galus? Do they have to, you know, what tshuva do they have to do? And also think about the other cases. That nurse that put the patient on the respirator incorrectly. That patient died pretty quickly after. It wasn't immediately, right away. But and for sure, the patient, the nurse that got COVID and went to his locked unit and those patients died from COVID, that wasn't right away, because you could for sure say that maybe someone else gave them COVID or they died from other issues. It wasn't COVID. So that's the Rambam. The Rambam seems to say it's only if it's immediate, miyad. There's another potential heter, which is the next source, is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. It says, "Hanotein sam hamavet lifnei behemet chaveru." Sorry, I'm trying to use Sephardi pronunciation, but you know, I'll just say briefly. I love Sephardim. First of all, you live in LA, you gotta love Sephardim. But I love Sephardim. I love, and in my office, I have a picture of Rav Avadia. So I remember one time when I first started working at Cedar Sinai. This guy walks into my office, a Sephardi family member walks into my office, and he says, "Rabbi, I have a question for you," and we're talking, and he says to me, "Are you Sephardi?" So I said, "No." So he got like disappointed. He says, "Oh." And then I said, "But I'm happy to help if I can." Then we're talking, and he looks at me up, and he says, "Wait, you love Rav Avadia?" I said, "I love Rav Avadia." He says, "Then I love you too!" And he gave me a big hug. So... So anyways, I'm trying to read it with the Sephardi pronunciation, but it throws me off a little bit. So anyways, the Gemara says, Hanosin sama mavis, if ne behemis chavero, someone puts poison in front of their friend's animal, but they don't kill the animal, but they put in the trough, you know, in front of the animal, some poison. Like, let's say your neighbor's dog is barking so much. So you don't want to go shoot the dog, but you put a little bit of poison into their thing to drink it. So you're like, "Oh, I'll kill him that way." So the Gemara says, Patr midini adam, v'chai midini shemayim. There's room for leniency if it didn't happen, you know, be a dying. You didn't kill them right away. So again, you could maybe ask some of these questions. It didn't happen immediately. But let's look at what the Shulchan Aruch says, and then I want to talk about tshuva. How do you do tshuva for these things, and what do we do? Because some of these questions came up, and the Shulchan Aruch addresses it directly. The Rambam did not, he mentioned here that a shogeg, someone who kills a shogeg accidentally, has to go to an ir miklat, has to go into galut. But he never says that about a doctor. He just says that accidental killing. The Shulchan Aruch, however, does mention doctors. So the Shulchan Aruch here in Yerideya, it's in Shin Lamed Vav. That's the section of the Shulchan Aruch that talks about medical issues. It says in the bottom of page 1, Nitzna HaTorah Rishus L'Rofe L'Rapos. This is going back now, summarizing everything we looked at today. The Torah gave doctors permission to heal. U'mitzvahi, and it's a mitzvah. U'bechal pekuach nefeshi. Who? And it's part of saving life. And if you prevent yourself, it is meaning just not killing is shedding blood. By the way, quick side point, I don't want to get into this too much just because it's going to take us too off base, but someone asked in our group, what about the doctors in Israel that had this happened, that had Hamas terrorists that showed up in their hospitals? Because we just said a doctor who just doesn't, just by not healing, just that is considered murder. It's not just if you try to heal someone and you make a mistake and then they die, but just not healing. So already we saw in the Rashi about a Nachri, it seems to imply that it's not probably not the same. But this did come up in the war in Gaza, and it happened to see. I went on a mission like 2 weeks after October 7th, and I visited Shaar Tzedek, and I met with the rabbis there, and they told me that after this happened, the nurses at Shaar Tzedek said that they had all these Hamas terrorists in their hospital amongst all the Jews, the Israelis that were also there, and the 200 nurses said, we refuse to care for those patients. We're not going to help them. So you could see why they said that. But the CEO said, we need to ask the rabbi, which is interesting already that they said it's up to the rabbi. It's not the CEO. Let's see what the rabbi says. So the rabbis, Rav Asher Weiss and Dr. Steinberg, Rabbi Avram Steinberg, he's spoken here before. Both of them have. Dr. Steinberg's spoken in this building before. So they said, I understand these nurses' feelings. First of all, it was October 8th. It was like the day after this. And some of them, they had family members that were killed or hostage. You could see why the nurses didn't want to care for these patients. But the rabbi said, here's our concern. We have an issue in general in medicine, and we have this all the time. If those of you work in the hospitals, you know this. At the hospital, we have all the time where you have someone who got hurt, got attacked by someone, and then the attacker next to each other in the emergency room. The perpetrator and the victim literally in the room next to each other. And the family show up and they're like, it's very awkward. So they said in general in medicine, we have to be very careful about choosing. Could you imagine there were some doctors during COVID that were starting to say like, oh, if someone doesn't wear a mask, I'm not going to treat them. Or if they don't vaccinate, I'm not going to treat them. Like, we couldn't say that because that is really a dangerous slippery slope. Someone say, if they voted for that person, I'm not going to treat them. Like, that could be dangerous. So the rabbi said, number one, this is a war and we are dependent on international support. If they find out what we're doing, that we're like them, that we're like, we're not, but if they think that we're like them, that we're mistreating their patients, also, so that we'll lose international support. Also, they have our hostages. And if they see that we're doing this to their patients, what do they do to the hostages? And finally, the IDF said to them, we need intelligence from them. We don't have so much intelligence from Gaza. We need the intelligence. If you keep them alive, it'll help us in the war effort. So the nurses said, okay, we'll treat them. But do we have to give them pain medicine? And the rabbi said, yes, same reason. You do have to.
What if they do your best because you're emotionally involved? Someone had their family member killed, treating this patient who killed their family.
Yeah. No, for sure, a medical professional can always say, I'm not comfortable doing this, and I'm let someone else do it. The problem they had at Shaar Tzedek was that it was so many who said it that they couldn't run a hospital that way. But always in medicine, a doctor or nurse, anyone has the right to say, you know what, this procedure goes against my values. I'm not doing it. That's protected by the law. And they should. Anyways, let's go back to the source here. So anyways, but not just not doing something could be shofek. Family could be killing. Even if there's someone else. Because not everyone has the schus to be the one. And you can't just say, oh, someone else will do it. I'm not in the mood or whatever. If you have the opportunity to save a life, you have to save the life. Umihu, however, lo yitasek berafua el imkein hu baki, you should not be involved with medicine unless you actually know what you're doing. It's not just because you say, oh, it seems like you should probably do this. You're just guessing. You're like, no, you have to actually know what you're doing. Velo yeh sham gadol mimenu, and there's not someone else who's better at it than you. Sheim lo kein hareza shofek dami. Because if you say, I watched Grey's Anatomy, I know what I'm doing. And then the person dies, that you're going to be held accountable for. And if you try to heal without a license, you have to pay for it. You have to you're held responsible for the damages. But even if you know what you're doing and you have a license, but you make a mistake and you injure a person, patur midini adam, you are not required. You're not obligated by human laws. But by heaven, you are guilty. And what should you do? And if you killed someone, a patient, and then you found out that you killed the patient, you should go into galut. You have to go into galut. Which means, as you asked, yes, it means an ir miklat. You actually have to go to an ir miklat. So, Well, the Ir Miklat today, there's no Ir Miklat in America. There's six, there, the Torah says there are six Ir Miklat. There is three Be'ever Yarden, three in Jordan, so you can move to Jordan and go to Ir Miklat there. And three in Israel. The three in Israel was Hebron, Shechem, and Kadesh, which is today it's just like a farm. So Shechem, you can move to Shechem. Good luck. Nablus, yeah, Shechem is Nablus. Or Hebron. I guess that's your only choice, is Hebron. But, could you imagine? So first of all, is that actually required today? Well, yeah. So let's discuss this, because I want to share with you a few. So first of all, if you look in the sources below there, the Nishmas Avraham, Avraham, a commentary on Shulchan Aruch with medical issues. He says, what does this really mean? If a doctor made a mistake and switched a medicine by accident, because they were so tired, and then gave them a different one, but it was because they were so tired, they made a mistake, an honest mistake. So in that case, the Tzitzeliezer, Menchas Yitzchak says, Nechshav kekarv lezadon velo keshogeg. That's not even shogeg. That might even be considered intentional because they should have been more careful. Tzitzeliezer writes, if you look at the source there, just the beginning there, he says, we'll just read the top of it. He says, "Venira de mistaber lomer de vita harofa besiat zrika vehechlif vehizrik lechola zrika kazot shegarma lamita achola." You gave them the wrong medication that caused them to die, or the chavalato, or their damage. Pekagavna chayev aliba de kuli ama. That person is actually, it's more than just shogeg. V'chein oto adaver behechlif samei arufua shehaya tzarich letet lo zedavka betau tarofe vechashav lezrika zot or the samzot lemarpe. It's only if you thought that this was something that was going to heal them that in that case, you know, you made a mistake. But if it's, you actually switched it because you weren't paying attention, that might carry a higher level of liability. However, when it comes to the actually going to Galut, do you know of any doctors that actually like said, you know what, I have to move to Hebron now, I'm sorry. Did it ever happen? So the Nishmas Avraham says there in the top there, it says, Katav liya gon rishomaz on arbach zatal, shema shehov v'shulchan aruch enu ela laman dat chomer ha'iser. It's just to tell you how seriously you should take it. That technically, if you killed someone by mistake, you technically deserve to go into galut. But we're not going to actually make you do it because it's not viable. I mean, you can't expect that people are going to do that. But so the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch wanted you to know how serious it is, and therefore it says it in the Shulchan Aruch, but we don't actually require it. Well, that's one of the questions. Is the purpose of the Ir Miklat to protect them from a rodef? I mean, you can't have a rodef today. The truth is, I asked Rosh Shechter this question. Rosh Shechter from YU, I asked him this exact question, this exact case. And Rosh Shechter said, he said, first of all, he quoted a sefer called Meshiv Milchama, Rav Kinnisberg. What? Yeah, the question was, what about the Goel Hadam, the person that wants to avenge the murder? Can they then kill the person since they're not in Ir Miklat? So I asked him if the whole case, what should a doctor do today that they accidentally killed someone? And the Shulchan Aruch says they have to go into Galut, into an Ir Miklat. Should they actually do it? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach there we saw said, no, they don't have to. It was just to teach you how severe it is. They have to do tshuva, which we'll talk about in a second. Well, how do you do tshuva? But Rav Shechter said to me that he's quoting the Sefer from Rav Kinnisbrum, Mishim Muhammad, that says, he's asking, is the purpose of the Ir Miklat, the Galus, is it because it's like a kanas, a penalty, a fine, an onesh, a punishment? In which case, it can't just be self-imposed. It's like that's the obligation. Or is it for kapara? Is it for general repentance and just to remove the sin from you, so to speak? I'm sorry?
Atonement,
thank you. In which case, it can't, you know, there's no need for a Gemar Din from a Beit Din, and you don't have to have a Sanhedrin, and in which case, you'd have it today. And Rav Shechter told me, he said he thinks it's actually for Kapara is the reason, and therefore, a doctor should take upon themselves, there's no Beit Din to tell them they have to, if a doctor accidentally kills someone, they should take it upon themselves and move to an Ir Miklat.
Wow.
And I said, wait, they have to move to Shechem or Hebron? He said, yes, that would be the right thing for them to do. I then said, well, what about the Goel Hadam? He said, someone from Argentina once asked him. He said, I know of someone who killed a family member by accident of mine. Do I have to go kill them? And he said, you know, I don't think it's a good idea. So he said, no, but I know. We can know how to like pay off the police here. I know how to do it. I can kill him and I won't get in trouble. He said, you know, I still don't think you should do that. Don't do it. But Rav Schechter's opinion was, it's a very unique opinion. No one else holds that way. When he told me that, I sort of like laughed a little bit. Not laughing at him. He's a major, major Talmud Chacham, one of the Gedolei Hador by far. But I was like, really? So he said, yes. So then someone sent me a recording that he was giving a shiur, and he said, one of the rabbis in L.A., asked me this question. He thought I was joking. I wasn't joking. I was very serious. So that would be, as someone who's a real Yerush Shemayim, they would say, you know what? I have to move to Hebron. And I don't know, maybe like if there's some realtor in Hebron, you could like make a deal with them. But most say no. And I'll tell you what Rav Asher Weiss said in a second to summarize all these. Yeah. Yeah, most say that there's another way to do it. Well, if the priesthood is for kapara, maybe there's another way to do the kapara other than going to an ir miklat. So, like for example,
that's
look at.
I'm sorry. That's Rashi in this question. If he doesn't go to God, Hashem will make him go to God.
Well, yes.
It's recommended for him to go. But
yes, of course. Very good. Well, that's for example, just as a side point. Imagine someone does this. I remember there was someone in L.A., and I heard this from a rabbi too. I mean, imagine someone accidentally does this, where they accidentally kill someone. It does impact them for the rest of their life. They are kind of wandering in a certain way for the rest of their life. Rabbi Graydon, from the Rosh Kollel here, and I asked him, he said that once Rav Aaron Cutler from Lakewood said, I spend my whole life traveling the country raising money. I want to just sit in yeshiva and learn, but I have to spend my whole life raising money. He says, it must be, he wasn't joking about this, I must have accidentally killed a yeshiva bachur once when I was younger, and I'm chayiv in galut. And because he said, because when I asked Rabbi Graydon, does the doctor actually have to go to galus? He says, no, he doesn't have to move there, but Hashem will make sure that there is a certain type of kapara, or they'll go into their own sort of galut, whether it's emotional or it'll happen in a certain way that it will happen to them. The Minchas Yitzchak here says, what should you do? Imagine you're trying to do tshuva. So the Minchas Yitzchak says, you just look at what I underlined there on page 3. He says, Rak din galut b'dine shemayim. It's only within the heavenly laws. Meaning, no court's going to actually say you have to go into galut. What's the nafkamina? Does man hazeh l'seder lo darchi ha-tshuva b'mishkal ha-galut? You have to think to yourself, what would it mean to me, to my life right now, if I had to drop everything and move to an ir miklat, to Hebron, let's say, or Jordan, until the next Kohen Gadol would die? Or, what would that do to my life? And then you have to say to yourself, how can I do tshuva that's that strict, that harsh of tshuva to myself right now, as if to do that kapara for me? And you do it for yourself. You have to just think about it. Whether that means, okay, from now on, I'm going, I don't know. For everyone in their life, it's different. The tshuva svarim, Rabbi Asher Weiss quotes this, say like, it could be that you become like a nav and nad ba'aretz. There's some people that decided like, there's also the tshuva of the galus of Cain when he killed Hevel, that he began wandering the world. So some people have taken upon themselves to go into galut where it's not to go into the ir miklat, but they don't seem to sleep in the same place for 2 nights in a row. They constantly just say, I have to move around and travel. They don't sleep with a pillow. They don't sleep with a mattress. They fast every, Yom Kippur Katan, Erev Rosh Chodesh, or Bahab, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Or, they take on different fasting, or tzedakah, things like that. They can take upon themselves things that kind of bring about that tshuva. Yeah. No, because that's what he's saying. Because since it's a kapara, it's not dependent on a base into a determinant. You don't need the kamar din. So that was his argument. Right, you don't need it today. That's the argument that he's quoting. Most disagree with that. The vast majority disagree with that. Say for chinuch, there's a number of places where they disagree with that clearly, and they say you have to have a Sanhedrin in its place, so it doesn't apply today. There's different opinions. That's why he quotes the Sefer Meshi Milchama that does say it's required today. Let's just do the last couple sources, and then we'll discuss. Maybe it's going to answer that. I don't want to go over time, because I know there's Lenny's coming soon. But but also the Meiri says something similar, and then I'll share with you a summary. The Meiri says here in this Chibra Tshuva, he says, this whole issue of going into Galus and doing Tshuva, it says, V'shiyedav yitbonein, ki rechakos mine redifat hevel ha'olam hazeh. The whole concept of trying to avoid the unnecessary pleasures of this world, that's how you bring yourself to becoming closer to Olam Haba. If the more you become dependent on this world, the more removed you are from the world to come. So part of tshuva is trying to get yourself to be connected to ruchnius, to spirituality, to learning Torah, to mitzvos. Right? So he says, Kamosha Amra Chacham. That's why it says, Fu Hakavana Ba'amram Galus Mikaperis Avon. That's why it says, Galut, going into exile, is an atonement for sin. Ki HaGalut Machnia Lev Ba'alav. Because going into Galut, you know, it's one thing, you know, you live in your community, you know your friends, people respect you, they know you. But when you go somewhere where people don't know who you are, they don't have any respect for you. Let's say here, you drive a nice car, you wear nice clothing, but you go somewhere where you just wear tattered clothing, you don't have a car to drive, people don't know you. It causes you, this is why great rabbis did this throughout the ages. There was rabbis that went into Galut imposed. They said, you know what, I get so much kavod, so much honor, it's not good for me. It's not good. I need to go somewhere. Some rabbi can say, I walk into any room, everyone stands up. I'm going to go to a place where when I walk into a room, they spit at me and make fun of me. Because it's part of the tshuva. This is a thing that people have done throughout the years. So this is what the Meir is saying here. He says, Umavir hasroros imenu. It takes off the leadership, the ownership from you, the grandeur from you. V'hit paruyot asher bezman hazeh hacholef. That we think that all these things are so important, all the kavod, all the this world things that we have are so important. Going into galut as a way of reminding us that all of our possessions, everything, it sometimes takes us away from the spiritual matters. And so maybe that's what the idea of going into galut is. So how did Rav Asher Weiss answer these questions? He said, you know, first of all, it is unique that the Torah only has a concept of shogeg is punished by galut when it comes to murder. With other mitzvot, you don't have this. You make a mistake. You made a mistake. It's onus. You didn't do it. It wasn't on purpose. If you go to some, I mean, there's interesting discussions that there are sometimes. I remember I lived in Muncie, New York, when there was this case of a butcher of a store that was switching the kosher meat with non-kosher meat to sell it for cheaper. And a lot of people, there was even Holocaust survivors that had never eaten non-kosher meat, even in the Holocaust. And then they found out that they'd been eating non-kosher meat in Muncie. Because this, and I remember one of the rabbis said in his Shabbos Haggadol Drasha in Muncie that year, quoted the Chassam Sofer, where he said, you know, if you do tshuva me'ahava, you do tshuva me'ahava, like just love of wanting to come to Hashem, it will transform all that treif meat you ate into the Korban Pesach, as if it was Korban Pesach. But you have to do real tshuva, really think about it. But only when it comes to murder do you have this concept of shogeg, you go to galut. It's only with murder, with killing. Because killing is such a big deal, right? That's pretty big, right? You can't just bring someone back. And Rav Asher Weiss argues that, first of all, it's not just a punishment to protect you from the Goel Adam. Some argued, it's just the Ir Miklat was just to protect you from the family of the one who died so they can't kill you. He says, no. It's really about the onesh, the punishment, and the kapara, and the atonement. Thank you. But it's unique. But he says today there's no Ir Miklat. You don't have to send someone to the Ir Miklat today. But instead, they should spend a year, 2 years, 3 years of wandering in whatever way that means. Whether it means you know, like I mentioned before, not sleeping in the same place, not sleeping on comfortable pillows, not buying new clothing, whatever it might mean for them that they say, you know what, I'm going to make myself, you know, feel the pain a little bit for a little while. So for example, when it came to that doctor, that nurse, who was told not to go home during COVID, and he had this closed unit with vulnerable patients, and he went home, got COVID, brought it back, and his patients died, Rav Asher Weiss did tell him, you should do some kind of tshuva for yourself. You should, you know, do Bikur Cholim, learn more Torah, you know, maybe take on some fast days, give tzedakah. There's things you should do to try to make it better. How about for that nurse that made the mistake with the respirator? The nurse with the respirator, he said, you know what? She tried so hard. She was working all night. How can you blame her? She's such a tzedekah. She saved so many lives. I'm not going to tell her she has to do tshuva. And so what about the war? What about the soldiers? Well, because in this case, it wasn't just being tired. It was that they switched the machines on her, that she was using machines she wasn't trained in, and that she was so overwhelmed. It was the situation was that it was not what a normal person should do. As someone said, how can you ask them to work two shifts in a row? The hospital was overwhelmed by the amount of patients that they had. I remember in New York at the very beginning of COVID when it was overwhelmed. In that situation, she was trying so hard. She saved so many lives. He said, you can't be blamed for that mistake that you made after you saved so many lives. And she couldn't like function anymore. She got so depressed. And he said to her, don't do tshuva. You're so depressed already. Like you're a tzedekis. That's what he writes in the letter to her. So imagine how he's going to respond. And he did respond. It's a beautiful letter that he wrote, just published it this week, that he wrote to the Chayalim, in Israel, who, you know, they are risking their lives for all of us, for all of Klal Yisrael. I know for Medina Yisrael, but the truth is it's for all of Klal Yisrael, for all of us. They're on the front lines in Gaza. And could you imagine how horrible they feel when they go home and they realize they accidentally, you know, killed a fellow? It happens. It happens in war, especially against such an evil enemy. But how bad they feel. And then they ask Rav Asher, they ask him, well, how do I do tshuva? So you imagine when he was responding, is he going to say to them, oh yeah, you should fast, you should give tzedakah, you should go into galut. He said to them, first of all, you're fighting a milchamet mitzvah. You're fighting a war that's a mitzvah. It's very difficult circumstances. Your goal was to save Jews. When you pulled that trigger, you're pulling it to save Klal Yisrael, not to kill them. So not to hurt them. So if I would say, Rav Asher Weiss says, if I would tell them you have to do tshuva, that will hurt Jews also by telling them you have to do tshuva, because then they won't be motivated to try in the future. They'll say, oh, you know, I have to really, I feel so bad about what I did. I won't try to save other Jews. It will break their spirit. And he says, you know, you don't need kapara for what you did. You did a mitzvah. You were trying to save the Jewish people. Accidents happen in war. That's part of war. I would not tell them to do tshuva, because that will undermine the war effort, he argued. So again, we have to be careful. On the one hand, we say, yeah, sometimes you have to do tshuva. That nurse, Redonda Vat, who gave the wrong medication, she was found guilty, actually. It was the first time. That's why it was a big deal, because people were like, how could a nurse be found guilty of unintentional manslaughter? She was going to get jail time. She was going to get 6 years of jail. But the International Nursing Association fought it like crazy, and she ended up just getting 3 years of probation. And halakhically, it does seem like she, you know, halakhically, it was problematic. She did click on the override. She claimed that, you know, there is something about being careful. The Rav Asher Weiss quotes, and I'll conclude with this, and any questions, the Or Sameach quotes the Rambam, says, really, for a doctor, there's no galus. The Rambam didn't say it, but the Aruch HaShulchan says, no, if they weren't careful enough, and they should have been more careful, there is a concept of doing tshuva. Not with the soldiers. With the soldiers, we say, you know what, you're fighting to save our people, we're not going to tell you, we're not going to say that to you. But with the doctor, if they weren't being careful enough, there is such an idea to say, you know what, maybe it's good to do tshuva, because we have to remind ourselves to be more careful when it comes to atzalas nefashos, to saving lives. So this is the concept, this is how we see it. It's all in this week's parsha, v'rapo yirapeh, and v'chi yazid ish. It's difficult issues, every case is unique, and you can see how all these cases that I mentioned to you, each one has a little bit of a different answer. Yeah, thankfully we have great people like Rav Asher Weiss as an example in Israel, and you have your great Rabbanim here, who really are great people to learn with, because the Torah, the amazing thing is, the Torah has the answers. It's not like these new questions come up and it's like, oh, just ask the rabbi to just make up an answer. The Torah has the answers. The Torah has been guiding us for thousands of years, and if we just learn the Torah, we will have guidance on the proper way to approach all these difficult questions that arise in our times. So thank you, and I'm happy to take questions forever long. Yeah. But at the same time, you're not going to get the people that are most skilled if they're not going to be paid well. Usually it gets filtered out. I mean, if you're actually not skilled and successful, you're going to get filtered out. You're not going to be able to keep your license. And I mean, I hear you. It's interesting question. I hear it. Yeah, so the Rashi... Well, for sure war is different, for sure. For sure war is different. But that Rashi that we saw says it's only Chayav Midini Shemayim in that case, not Midini Adam. So it would not be guilty in a human court, only by God. So it's different. Yeah, there are sources on that. That obviously in war, as long as the goal is that's a valid military goal to kill the enemy, then there could be, you know, civilian casualties. That is understood in halacha.
Israel had a case a while back where they saved the Sinwar guy from the Great War.
Yeah. It does seem like that might have been a mistake. I mean, but retrospectively, maybe it was a mistake. On the other hand, at least we can hopefully say, like, hopefully we can hold ourselves to a higher standard, and we can be proud of like that we, you know, that we're fight for life and that we do good things, but maybe also wasn't good. To like us better. Right, and it didn't work. Right. Didn't work out. Right. Good point. For sure there's a difference between actively killing Beadayim. That's like we saw in the Gemara, the Vesamah Mavas. It's the difference between actively killing someone and just not giving them something that causes them to die. Right, for sure. Yeah.